Tonight, I'd like to invite you to the book of Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Galatians 6, 1.
Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this evening. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity and the privilege to come into your house and to open your word. And then, Lord, we just call upon you and the blessing of the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and minds that we might hear from you and that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, may we sense your guidance tonight. May we be completely yielded to your will and your way for our lives, that you might be honored and glorified. And again, Lord, that you would increase our faith and use us as willing vessels for your honor and glory. Bless and build Northwood Baptist Church tonight and all of your churches. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is, "And So Fulfill the Law of Christ." And so fulfill the law of Christ. And that's right there in verse 2. I don't know that we'll get through the 3 points tonight, but we want to look at 3 thoughts here tonight. And that's the spirit of meekness is the first step revealed. And then we have the responsibility of communicating the good things of God. And then the discipline of sacrificial love and suffering. That is the way of the Lord, that we allow things to happen for the glory of God and that we trust the Lord that He is in control. Do we believe that tonight? God is in control no matter what's taking place. He's never out of control. He's ahead of everything and He is always on time. We may not feel that way, but He is always on time and He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And again, we may not always feel that way, but by faith, we trust that He is always in control. And if that's the case, what do we have to worry about? Amen? We don't have anything to worry about, but we have everything to praise the Lord for His mercy and goodness. So tonight, as we consider our scripture here, we want to look at really what the law of Christ is as defined in our text so that we'll know how to fulfill it. That's what the Lord wants to reveal to each and every one of us tonight. And so if we read the Word of God through the lens of the love of God, we'll see the Lord's revelations quite clearly, what He wants to show you and I tonight. So in order to do that, we need to remember that the Lord is not teaching us simply for the sake of teaching. He's not just trying to give us information. He's not just trying to give us head knowledge, but that our lives would be transformed into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is the purpose of the Word of God, to change our lives to the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just to puff us up and give us information and to teach lessons. That doesn't glorify the Lord. What glorifies the Lord is seeing people their lives being transformed into the likeness of Christ, because the Lord said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself." And so that is really the factor there that God is wanting. By the way, not only is that the will of God, but then He also blesses us where we begin to, again, by faith, experience the idea that God is in control, right? God wants to give us His peace. Now, when we don't have peace, when we get anxious for things, we don't really believe that God is in control. When we get angry, we don't really believe God is in control. Why are we angry if God is in control, right? Daniel could have gotten angry at people that were conspiring against him. The 3 Hebrew children could have got angry for being thrown into the fiery furnace. So many people, David could have been angry for Saul chasing him, right? But he didn't. He didn't get angry. And the Lord watched after every one that He had given promises to, didn't He? Yes. Let me try that again. The Lord had watched after every one that He had given promises to, and God brought the promises to pass, right? Will God bring His promises to pass in our life? Absolutely. It's a given, right? All we need to do is trust the Lord and walk towards His promises and trust Him to fulfill the rest. All right. So the first thought here, and again, this is a three-step phase here. The first phase here is the spirit of meekness God wants to reveal to us. So look with me, if you will, in verse 1. He says, "Brethren," so He is talking to believers, If a man be overtaken in a fault, now this is important. The idea of being overtaken in a fault was something that came upon him. He wasn't planning to sin. He was overtaken in it. It caught him off guard. That sometimes happens. Now, sometimes people premeditate and they say, I am going to do this. That is not a good situation, right? But sometimes we live life and things overtake us and it's unexpected, right? It's unexpected. It's unintended. Job was overtaken, was he not, with the trial that he faced. And there was some misunderstanding there on his part. But he was faithful to the Lord in spite of some of the, him maybe just not understanding completely everything that God was doing. But he certainly displayed trust in the Lord when many, many people would not have. And so tonight, he says this, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual or spiritually minded, restore such an one, right? So what's the idea there? That we kick them when they're down? That we pull the legs out from under them when they're already wobbling? No, that we encourage them, that we lift them up, that we have compassion and that we care. Because it can happen to any one of us, right? Let us not be so high-minded to think that we are infallible or that we're perfect. And really, listen, when somebody is pointing out the flaws of somebody else, you know what they're saying? I would never do that. Can you believe? And they're pointing, look. And I'm so perfect, you know, I would never do that. And that's not really the idea. God is wanting us to realize none of us are perfect. We can all fail the Lord and we can all be overtaken. So he says, restore those that have fallen and that with the spirit of meekness there in verse 1. And then he says, considering lest thou also be tempted, lest that also comes upon you. Verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, when people are carrying a burden, and it's not necessarily a physical thing, it could be a physical thing, but also, you know, emotional things and think when people are down, it's important to encourage them in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that means we have to get involved with one another, right? That means that we have to know each other. And you know, a mother can always tell, a father can too, I believe, but parents can always tell when there's something wrong with their kids, right? And that's because you learn the individual, you know them, you're around them all the time. So it's important to fellowship with God's people, to be concerned about them. And when they're down, that we pray for them and that we encourage them and do whatever it is that we can to lift their burdens. And by the way, when we call upon the Lord, we're really trusting the Lord to do a work in their lives. So he says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so this is all part of the law of Christ, which is what? Love, right? That we love one another, that we're concerned and we're compassionate towards one another. Notice this verse 3. He says, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. I didn't say that. The Lord said that. What are we? Nothing. We are nothing really without the Lord. We are nothing apart from Christ. And if we are apart from Christ as a saved child of God acting foolish, we're nothing. And so if we're in Christ, and that doesn't mean just salvation, that means we are walking in unison, right? Because a person can be saved and live like the devil. That is possible. It shouldn't be commonplace. It should not be the rule. David did that, didn't he? But he repented and turned back. And I just say that because he's a man after God's own heart. But at that particular time, what kind of a testimony did he have? Go ahead and put Uriah out in the heat of the battle, back away so he'll die. What did all those people think about David? Man, you know, what is he doing? And for people to follow him, I don't understand that either, but they did. And anyway, so when we are not in unison, in step with the Lord Jesus Christ, we're nothing. But with Christ, we can do all things for the glory of the Lord. But still, it is Christ in us. That's what Paul said. Paul said, you know, we know he was a very intellectual individual, very educated, very smart man, a man that had a lot of attainments. But he said, I took all of those and threw them in the dung heap. They're nothing. And only the things that are in Christ are what's important. And so here we have the Apostle Paul again talking and sharing this. And he says, Again, in verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. And that's the truth. We are nothing. I'm not ashamed to say it. Anything without the Lord in my life is nothing. It will not count. What will it mean in eternity? Nothing. It won't mean anything. And if I do things for the Lord by myself in and of myself, they are still nothing. I can come up with all the grandiose ideas, but if Christ is not in the middle of that, they are nothing. No matter what they accomplish. Listen, we don't take the world because, oh my goodness, look at their talents and look, oh my goodness, you know what that could do for the church? Nothing. Nothing, because it has to be sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ, or it doesn't honor and glorify him. So the Lord didn't tell us, now go out to the world and get the best, the cream of the crop, and try to convince them to become members of the church so that the church can be prestigious and thought about so well amongst the world. Is that what the Lord said, or did he say, oh, the world's not going to like you? The world's not going to like you. So we're not looking to impress the world, amen? We're just wanting to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's important, and we're going to see why here in just a moment. Look at verse 4. Here it is. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself. Now, what does that mean? That's talking about our service to the Lord. That's talking about what we are going to wind up with when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to see that here in just a moment. So he's saying, you have to bear your own burden on how you walk with the Lord. You cannot just do nothing or do it your way and expect it to honor the Lord. We can't do it our way. So we have to constantly be in. When we read the Word of God, we ought to just read it slowly and say, Lord, speak to me and allow me to understand what this means to me and what you're trying to communicate to me, that I might receive your Word and not just hear it only, but allow it to do the work of transforming myself to be like your Word. That I will compromise how much of your word? None of it. That I will compromise none of your word, but that I will walk by all of your word, and then I won't turn to the right hand or to the left concerning your word. So again, notice verse 4. But let every man prove his own work. Prove it to see whether it not be of the Lord Jesus Christ and of his Spirit. And then he says, shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another? In other words, you will have something to rejoice about. Well, where does that rejoicing come? Well, when God overcomes our emotions, right? When we know, all of us know when we're getting angry. And we know things that can make us angry. But when we're in the Lord and our focus is on Him, those things don't make us angry, right? If the Lord is involved, He changes us so that we don't get angry at things that we would normally get angry. Does that make sense? Otherwise, what's the difference? What is the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ if we're just going to do it our way anyway, right? So what we're doing is we're not allowing the Lord to fulfill His work in our lives. So listen, we cannot just read the Bible a day, speed through, do speed reading. Evelyn Wood speed reading. You ever remember that years ago in the 70s? I don't know. These people would just read pages like this. But what are you digesting? What are you comprehending in the Word of God? So it's really good to read the Word of God slowly and take it in and say, Lord, how does this work in my life, Lord? Let me hear you, that you might do this work in my life. Again, he says, verse 4, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Listen to this. For every man shall bear his own burden. Every man shall bear his own burden. And that means when we stand before the Lord, no one's going to come on our behalf and say, oh, you know what? I like them. They were really, I think they were a really good Christian. Is that going to be God's standard, what we think? No, he's going to say, oh, no, I'm going to open up the books and everybody's going to be quiet. And only the Lord's going to speak. And what he says is right is going to be right. And what he says is wrong is going to be wrong. So he says this. Verse 6, let him that is taught in word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So let him that is taught in the word, those who really know the word of God, and by the way, that's not just preachers, amen? Listen, God expects every child of God to grow in his grace and to grow in wisdom and understanding and be able to teach people that are coming into the faith the right way and to encourage people to walk uprightly. And so he says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. In all good things, right? Not some my things, but all the good things are in the word of God. And so he says this, verse 7, he says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Again, he's talking about the end days there. So what's going to happen? I mean, it could also mean in the present time also, but here he's talking about, if you follow the context here, he's saying, but let every man, verse 4, prove his own work, and that's our whole life. What is it? Prove the work. Does it line up with the word of God? And then we need to pray and say, Lord, don't let me deceive myself, because our flesh can say, you know what, this is okay. And God says it's not okay. So we got to be careful about that. Lord, I don't want to. My own heart can deceive me into allowing things that are not right in the Word of God and excuse those things and walk in those things. How will I stand before the Lord in that day? Not well at all. I have no reason. I have no excuse to allow my carnality into my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. God does not want that in our lives. So he says, verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So God has great expectations and great hopes for every child of God. I believe he wants every child of God to learn and to be meek and to be spirit-led and to be able to teach and show others, so much so that, listen, the world can see in our lives that we have a genuine spirit for the things of God. That we're not just superficial on the outside. We are through and through with the grace of God in our lives. And so again, he says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And then he says here, verse 8, for he that soweth to his what? To his flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And so he's wanting that everlasting life. He's wanting us to reap that. See, are we reaping of the flesh or are we reaping of the Spirit that brings everlasting life into our lives? And this is an important thought also. Verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Again, that can be applicable in this day and age. Here's what happens. I mean, before we stand before the Lord, if we are not weary in well-doing, we are going to overcome the sins that easily beset us by the grace of God. Let me say that again. We are going to overcome the sins that easily beset us by the Spirit of God, by the grace and power of God, and then we will praise Him for that. See? It's not, listen, if I do it in my own strength, then that's my self-righteousness. I have nothing to thank the Lord for. But if God enables me to do what I know I can't do, and I'll just tell you up front, I can't do the same things you can't do. All right? And what is that? I cannot control my temper. You can't either. We all can be nasty. We all can be unkind. That's just the truth. Why? What is that? That is the human flesh. We all need the Spirit of God that enables us to walk like the Lord walked and not in our own self-righteousness. That's our tendency. Our tendency is to develop our own self-righteousness and then to tout it as a matter of fact, and we'll wind up short before the Lord. God's not going to accept that, so God wants us to be careful. Why? I am convinced God wants all of us to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But the only way that that will happen is that we are completely yielded as we read the Word of God, that we say, Lord, work this in my life. Lord, give me your Spirit. So listen, I know when the Lord is involved, when I would normally be angry and I would not, and I don't do anything. And God allows me to turn the other cheek. Now, I also know when I fail in that and I'm not yielded to the Spirit and I get in my flesh. And after I'm done with it, I don't like it. Amen? After I'm done with it, I just say, I wish I would have never done that. But if we walk upright before the Lord, He will enable us to walk upright before Him. And that is pressing toward the mark. It's not just like, well, I graduated the second grade. Don't tell me elementary stuff anymore. Listen, you can have success today in the Lord and you can fail Him tomorrow with your temper, with our temper. Can we not? Absolutely. So we need to daily walk with the Lord so that we have the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ and we humbly walk with him. Very quickly. Again, verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. And what's the well-doing? The well-doing is what's in the Word of God. And so, and by the way, by the grace of God, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That's a positive, isn't it? It will come to pass. Notice verse 10. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. But notice this, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Especially, listen, we should do good to all men, but we should be the best to those who are in the household of faith, in the family of God, in the kingdom of God, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul says very quickly here, and I'm the last thought is the discipline of a sacrificial love and suffering. And Paul exemplified that, didn't he? Paul suffered physically a lot, spiritually a lot, and by the way, verbally a lot, right? He was libeled, he was slandered, things were written about him, things were said about him that were not true, and he still persevered. Why? Because he kept his eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. See? Listen, people may say and do ugly and nasty things to us. Maybe that's the case, right? But here's the truth of the matter. The Lord Jesus Christ alone is the one who died for us. So my faithfulness is to him. Amen? Our faithfulness ought to be to him. Come what may, what people may say, what people may do, our loyalty must be to the Lord Jesus Christ and to him alone. So tonight, God wants us to know what we need to do to fulfill the law of Christ. And the first thing is to have a heart for God. Amen? Lord, give me a heart to not excuse your word, but to follow your will completely, amen, and loyally, and by your power and by your grace. Because otherwise, we're going to be short-ended, right? If we try to do it in our strength, we're going to fail every time, right? It's going to be hit and miss. But if we're in the Spirit of the Lord, we will persevere, amen? We will be able to press toward the mark, and we will be convinced a crown is laid up in store for you and I. So tonight, the Lord says, we have the ability by the grace of God to fulfill the law of Christ. Would you stand as we prepare for prayer? Let's pray. Or our time of prayer, I should say. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. We thank you so much for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness to each and every one of us that none of us deserve. And yet, Lord, your love brought you here to pay the price, to give us eternal life, and a life worth living here on this side of eternity, and in a life that we can't even imagine what you have in store for us when we see you face to face. Lord, enable us, open up our hearts and minds to understand how to walk with you, that we would be found faithful. Bless as we break off for prayer, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.